Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Building the Broncos with Nick Kendall and Carl Dummler, Broncos Country's leading draft and scouting analysts. Get on over to milehighhuddle.com to sound off on all things Broncos.
Welcome in. It is Tuesday evening, October 1st. It is officially knee-deep, maybe with our ad read today, balls deep, into the football season. We are the Broncos with 2-2. Yeah, how you doing, Scott? Good to see you. Carl as well. Everybody hanging out. We're riding high, man. Broncos are coming off of a slop fest of a victory, but after an 0-2 start to be 2-2, a lot of surprises so far this season, positive. Things a little bit slow on the offensive side, but overall, I think the vibes are high. Two-game win streak. Feeling good. How are you doing, Carl?
I'm doing great. You know, like I said, two-game win streak, can't beat that. It's that fall weather where it's kind of not 100 degrees in the middle of the day, so you can actually be outside for a big part. And, you know, I've told my kids after every victory, we got to go out and play a family game of football. And so it was really nice getting out there. It was a little nicer here in Kansas than it was in New York. We didn't quite have the rain going on here. So it was a lot of fun. And like I said, just get to celebrate these victories with my kids. Having a good Broncos team, haven't had that since I've had my kids. I know you haven't had that either, even though you've not had your kid very long. Yeah. But to actually get to see them excited, like, Dad, they won. This is great. Hopefully we can keep riding high on that.
Yeah, I've one game at a time. I mean, Lord knows I didn't pick the Broncos to win either the last two games. Vegas sure as heck didn't. The 6.5-point dogs at Tampa, 7.5, 7-point dogs at the Jets. Two of the biggest upsets of the week, and to do those back-to-back. Man, I don't know if I'm believing, but I do believe that this team is overall more talented and a more cohesive team and unit than I expected. And they're starting to get a little bit of life on the offensive side as well. Something that they can, I think, hopefully lean into now that we have, honestly, the Chargers defense is playing incredible football. We're not talking about them because Broncos focus, right? But they're playing good football too. But Raiders game coming up, hopefully we can start to open things up a little bit offensively and look a little bit more functional for sure. Let's say hello to folks coming in. We got David Youngkin. Evening, everyone. Most people on the podcast say Bo stock is down. It could have been weather, but I say lack of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, I know. I kind of got it into a little bit today with one of my favorites, Jeremy, talking about the Bo Nix stuff. And I mean, through the four games, output hasn't been good. Two really good defensive fronts. Those first two games, first starts, 3 of 4 on the road. The weather was crazy in New York. I'm with you, too. The offensive talent, specifically at the skill position, is lacking. All we can evaluate is what we've seen. I'm not overly surprised. I guess I'm surprised about some specifics of Bo's play, but the less than stellar numbers out of the gate, not surprising. I don't think it's going to be it doesn't mean it has to be indicative to what he's going to be going forward. Also, and now that the schedule is opening up a little bit, I'm excited to hopefully see a little bit better from him. I'm expecting a little bit better from him.
Yeah, you couldn't have had a tougher slate to start for a rookie, in my opinion. You know, like you said, 3 of the 4 on the road, 2 of them East Coast, early time zone, some very tough defenses, some great defensive minds calling those plays against a rookie quarterback. But you're right, that there are a couple things, the red zone interceptions, like those are things he never did in college. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they're showing up some inaccuracy issues where he's missing guys that are actually open. Now it's not all his fault that the offense is struggling.
Not at all.
I would say Sean Payton has been a little bit too conservative at times with his play calling, maybe trying to protect the rookie a little bit more than he should. And got some receivers dropping balls. Broncos, I think a lot of their guys are in the bottom half of the league when it comes to separation ability. So nobody's getting open for him. You know, tight ends are doing jack squat. Until this last game, the run game's been Bo Nix. Like, he's been the run game. He had his moment. But this last game maybe showed a little bit of sign of life when it comes to the run game. Javonte Williams looked like a guy knowing that his job was on the line. Mm-hmm. You know, he finally really just started running forward. My old high school coach, I hate that I was called this, but I was called Happy Foots Dumbler or Happy Feet Dumbler, because I'd be back there behind the offensive line and I'd be kind of just feet going a little bit fast, trying to find that hole. And by the time anything would open up, somebody's already coming around the backside getting me. Mm-hmm. And he'd just say, Dumbler, hit the hole. And there's times where I'm yelling at Javonte on the TV. I'm just going, Javonte, hit the hole. My kids are going, what's going on? I'm like, the guy just got to go. Mm-hmm. And but a guy that we love that is here to stay is David, coming in with a $5 super saying, good evening, Broncos country, Nick, Carl, and Deacon Scott. Hashtag 10-7. Hashtag MHH for life. Hashtag Buckham times 3. Hashtag Denver Broncos for life. Hashtag SEAL Team Knicks. Hashtag let's go, bro. Or let's bow. Thank you, David. Really appreciate that. And good evening to you. Glad you could be joining us and getting to celebrate, like I said, another Tuesday victory day.
Yeah, man. It's good to have. And for sure, the 10-7. Hey, it's possible, man. They're 2-2. Their playoff odds have climbed, not gotten longer, but shorter. And it's a team that when you have a defense playing as well as Denver's is right now, you're going to have a shot in pretty much every game. Now, granted, maybe I'm a negative naysay. I think that there'll be regression defensively. There'll be a little bit of, you know, will they finish a top three defense in the NFL this season? I don't know. I think it's pretty hard when they have like so few heavy investments on that side of the ball that they will finish that high. They also, I don't think, have played, you know, although the Tampa Bay offense looks pretty good, but I just can't imagine they'll finish top three. Maybe they will. I doubted them entering the season, but I also don't expect for that side of things, defense finishing top three, I think they'll finish top 10. Offense finishing, I think they're 30th in the NFL right now in EPA per play, which is bottom three. I don't think they're going to finish around there either. So I'm expecting a little bit more of a regression both ways to the median. And maybe that gets them 10-7. I don't know. This next four game slate will be huge. They probably need to go 3-4. I think in the next four, I believe it's the two home games against your divisional opponents that aren't the Chiefs, Raiders and Chargers. I think then it's on the road with New Orleans and then Carolina week 8, I think. That's just off the top of the head, but somebody in the chat can correct me. But hey, things can happen, man. So we'll see, one game at a time. But Denver got through that first chunk of the season, 3 road games, East Coast trip, 2-2. 2-2 gives them a chance. Obviously, it'd have been better than 3-1, 4-1. But after 0-2, I was fully prepared for 0-4 and talking Travis Hunter, Will Johnson, whatever in the draft. We got life. Life for sure. And thank you, David Meckelrath, for giving life to building the Broncos, coming in and supporting us today. You know who else supports us, Carl? Manscaped.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Just signed up for one myself here in about a month. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it?
Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings a luxury but professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping.
Get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com.
Yeah, thank you so much, Manscaped, and shout out to them. You guys support them. You support us. Also supporting us, we got Miguel Santa-Steven coming in. Always good to see Miguel. He says, evening, Broncos country. Do you guys think Bo Nix will have a better game now that the defenses will have lighten up? I think so. I still think that, like, will the Seahawks defense end up being one of the top two defenses in the NFL come the end of the season? I don't know. I think they're going to be good. But I mean, Jared Goff, now granted, they were missing some pieces up front there, but Jared Goff just went, what was it, 20 for 20 against them, and they put up like 40 something points. It did not look like an elite Seahawks defense. We'll see how these defenses look, but there's, when the sample size is so small and your team did as bad offensively as Denver's did, like, no wonder like the other defenses statistics look good. I'm just waiting for a more robust sample size. But on paper, you do think that at least with the Raiders and the Panthers and the Saints, they don't seem like obvious top 10 units. Honestly, it's pretty surprised about how good the Chargers are doing defensively. We'll have a chance to talk about them next week. But it should open up a little bit. I like that you have some home games as well, a little bit more comfortability, hopefully. And hopefully the weather can hold off a bit in October in Denver, because I don't think it's always going to be as bad as it was in New York, but it definitely was impacting the passing game in East Rutherford, New Jersey this last Sunday. So I do think just in general experience, getting a little bit more comfortable, Sean Payton also knowing what strings to pull a little bit more. I expect it to get better. Now, am I expecting Bo Nix to turn into CJ Stroud from last season? No. But right now Denver's, I think their pass EPA per play is the second worst in the entire NFL. I expect them to climb out of that a bit. I don't think they're going to be as dreadful as they have been. And again, not unreasonable considering the talent level, the defenses they went against, all these other factors at this point. Elias comes in and says, Burnell, Elias Burnell, 1999. Elias, if you have any comments for us, please hit us up. But thank you so much for the support. We owe you one for that. So if there is something in the chat here, you have a question or anything, we appreciate it. If not, you know, you're just hanging out, that's great. We appreciate you, Elias. But yeah, Wolfie, good evening. Daniel Berry Sports, always great to see you. Roy Osborne, he says, hey there, guys, all of Broncos country. Yes, the offense needs to get going like it did in Tampa. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, Desert Creature says, Bo Nix is doing fine. It's only been four games. I mean, he hasn't been good in the four games, but there's plenty of reasons as to why he hasn't been good. So that's fine. And Denver, big thing, I've said it on there, he's avoided the negative plays, especially the last 2 weeks. The interceptions haven't been there, hasn't been sacked in 2 weeks. Those are huge, avoiding those negatives. That's something Russell Wilson could not do to save his life in Denver, just in general. And also, while there's been a little bit frantic in the pocket, you know, escaping clean pockets, a little bit haphazard, I guess might be the word. That's the wrong word. For some of his base mechanics, resulting in inaccuracy issues, it does feel like he hasn't been so rattled that he's making the catastrophic mistake. And there is, that's for a rookie quarterback, when things aren't going well, you feel like you got to play hero ball. There is something to be said about that. Now, that's not a very high bar, but it is a bar for a young quarterback coming into the NFL. So that's a big positive for me as well.
And another positive, we have Cody W coming in with the $5 super, saying Bo isn't getting worse. Last two games, no sacks, and he's starting to stay in the pocket a little longer. Rookie year, he is learning and it's showing. And I would say in some way, this last game, you got to throw it out a little bit. Because we even saw Aaron Rodgers, one of the better bad weather quarterbacks out there, even struggled with it. Mm-hmm. And he's talked about it, I think, today when he was on a show for ESPN. He talked about the weather and how much it really got to him there in that game. So I'm not going to read too much into this last one, but still, there's still other things from the first three that you can read too as well. But no, you're right. He's getting better. He's understanding when pressure's coming, how to move in the pocket. He's been able to use his legs. You know, maybe his arm hasn't been perfect so far, but he has done well of picking up first downs, keeping drives going. And so, like I said here, Cody, as long as he keeps showing that incremental growth throughout the rest of the season, you could probably feel pretty darn good by the end of the year of what he could be moving forward for you.
Yeah, and there was a study done by somebody who used to work at PFF. I tried to find the tweet earlier today, just didn't have time to dig through the archive. But he did a study that on how the first six games of a rookie career was predictive or indicative to the rest of their career. And it really wasn't. There was just not a lot. Like the first six games, I mean, you're just kind of getting your feet under you. And after that, you should be starting to figure it out and you'll see what you have there. But we're still in the trial and error. And so far, they've kept the season afloat. The defense has kept the season afloat while you're trying to going through those rookie struggles. Maybe Bo Nix won't end up the guy, but it's not because of how he's played those first four games. And as far as throwing that game out, Carl, I'm with you. As far as like the overall statistics, hopefully once the sample size is large enough, more games, you know, you just kind of wash in and like everybody's had enough bad games at some point that you can't take away just that one game for next unless you go through every single game for every quarterback throughout the entire year. Like it's part of the right. comparison sample. with that said, we're going to be looking closely, carefully on how Knicks does the next time there is elements. That's the big takeaway there. Cause it was like, while Rodgers struggled too, a lot of his inaccuracies and incompletions I felt were more so choice route issues. I mean, they were much more competent throwing the football through the air than the Broncos were, even when the elements weren't good. But again, avoiding the sacks, that was huge, and the catastrophic play. So we're just going to be, as far as that game and the elements, we're watching to see how Knicks does next time it's wind, rain, snow. That's pretty much the only thing. Now I have there's a slight concern for an open air stadium for Knicks, but as far as how the -7 passing yards in the first half, didn't have to stay afloat. Always keeping us afloat. Michael Ronquillo, great to see you, Michael. Always appreciate you. You are, I mean, I know Chad always says on the MHH Mount Rushmore, but as far as I'm concerned, you are the pinnacle, Michael. I always appreciate you coming in. You're the guy. He says, good evening, Nick and Carl. I'm building the Broncos. Go, bro, Broncos. Yeah. Go, Michael. Appreciate you so much coming in and supporting the show. The other guy may be on the pinnacle too, Patrick Wiltsey, because the coffee man is here. He says, aloha, gents. It's Raider week. I want to have a winning season as always, but if we can only win two games this year, it needs to be the Raider games. Yeah, the Broncos haven't beat the Raiders since week 17, 2019. The Shelby Harris batted two-point conversion. It's been 8 games in a row that the Broncos have lost, and that's not been a good Raiders team. So to lose 8 games in a row against that team is quite frankly disgusting, unacceptable, leaves a bad taste in my mouth even saying it. They got to have this one. I don't believe in must-win games this early in the season, unless you were 0-4 and like 0-5. I mean, you're for sure done then. That's not the case. But 0-4, divisional team, they're not very good. The Devontae Adams stuff, Max Crosby's probably not playing. You got to win this game against the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm thankful, like I said. Max Crosby, he's been a Bronco killer. Josh Jacobs on the offensive side has been the Bronco killer. Both of them probably not going to be in. Well, Josh Jacobs for sure is not going to be in this game because he's gone elsewhere. So that's really nice. But then, like I said, Max Crosby, at least if he does play, he's not going to be 100%. And we've got Chase Wilner saying it does look like Crosby will be back. At what level, I guess, would be the big question. Now, he is a pro's pro. I mean, the guy's going to play through pain. He's an animal out there. I mean, it's pretty awesome to watch. I hate to say that about a Raiders player, but he really is a great one. So, and then the Devontae Adams stuff, I'm interested to see how that plays out in the locker room. You know, sometimes when you've got a disgruntled player, maybe it unites the other players, depending on their relationship with him. Or it could be, if they are great friends with Devontae Adams, going, this sucks that this is how the organization is treating one of their top players, you know, that their coach is liking a tweet about him being gone. You know, I can't see that playing out well, even if they don't like Devontae Adams, that a coach would do that. I mean, that's pretty childish in my opinion. Now, I mean, I'm saying that when we have Sean Payton as our head coach, and some of the things that he does, I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Man. But anyway, yeah, I do. I think they're in a little bit of chaos. There's still some talent. I mean, they did just beat the Cleveland Browns. They got some speed on that offensive side. And my biggest worry with this Broncos defense, because they play so aggressive with all this blitzing, they open themselves up to being beat deep. You know, you think about that Steelers game. Yes, it got called back, but they did have that 50-yard pass down the field to Pickens. And there's going to be some of that. You saw this past game with Moss getting the pass interference in the end zone. Like, if you don't get home right away with some of that, those blitzes, you open yourself up to those big plays. So that's my only worry, is that maybe the Raiders, you stop them. All of a sudden, boom, 50-yard play down the field. And they could find a way to get a victory that way.
Yeah, it's certainly, it's kind of weird. There's a little bit of a juxtaposition where I think Vance Joseph is leaning into it, but also Brian Flores of the Vikings is leaning in it too, that when you send so many people, the ability to get beat deep isn't actually happening that often because of how quickly the pressure is coming. The quarterback doesn't have time to let those big routes develop. And again, if you have a burner, it doesn't take very long. If you beat the guy at the line, you can be cooked. And if the quarterbacks, you know, sees it, good luck. But what I worry about more so is the open field tackling, just from a scheme and weakness perspective. Not that Denver, I mean, that's one of the things that impressed me the most about these defensive backs so far, is they are not allowing much in terms of yards after catch. And just the league in general has been pretty darn good in tackling the last couple of years. That's something that they've just, there's not a lot of broken tackles in the open field. That form is better. But when you have those so few guys out there, quarterback gets it off quick to say a Brock Bowers, and he makes one guy miss. Giddy up. There's not much between them and the end zone at that point. It's a race. So I think it's more so the open field tackling when you are a blitz centric like Denver has been so far. But again, I don't, with Davante Adams definitely going to be out. It would be shocking if he played, especially with the head coach, you know, liking tweets about and whatever out there. But I am curious to see how this Raiders team attacks them. They've been horrific running the football this season. I think they've been either the worst rushing offense or one of the bottom three offenses in terms of, oh my God, they're so bad at rushing. Never mind. They are by far the worst rushing team in EPA by like a significant margin. So that's great for Denver. I mean, they know they've been better against the run the last few weeks, but they can worry a lot more on the pass game and hopefully not let a guy like Trey Tucker get them beat. He's a good vertical threat. And those two tight ends that they have, although Mayer has been dealing with an injury. So we'll see.
Yeah, and then they also have a terrible run defense. I think they're third worst on yards per carry allowed. They're allowing like 5.1 yards per carry so far this year. So Broncos should be able to run in this one, and then hopefully can do a little bit of play action off of that to make life a little bit easier for Bo in this one, give him some easier reads going down the field. We got Cody W. coming in with the $5 saying, Bo is a mobile quarterback. I'd like to see what his stats look like next to Lamar's rookie year. I see him more as a Lamar type quarterback than a Drew Brees.
I don't think you can. I couldn't compare anybody in the league to Lamar Jackson, because what Lamar did at Louisville. See, Scott, I got that right. I've learned a lot from Scott, but one thing I've definitely learned is saying Louisville correctly. But just a completely different kind of player. Also, I think Lamar didn't play his rookie season until like the very end. I'll check it. We got it here. Yeah, he rushed for 700 yards as a part-time player as a rookie, and then 1,200 his second year. So not exactly comparable. I think, honestly, with the comparison I keep coming back to, which I think this is an ideal outcome for, maybe not ideal, like ideally he's, you know, best, he's Patrick Mahomes. That's ideal. But I think an Alex Smith kind of pathway is there, where like you are a factor as a run design, where you can pull it down 5-10 times a game and extend plays and scramble and pick up yards, and you're accurate and smart and just meticulous with the functioning of the offense. Like Andy Reid, Alex Smith combination, I think that was a possible ideal scenario for Bo Nix, but I just don't see a Lamar Jackson type of quarterback, because I mean, is Lamar the most dynamic explosive quarterback runner we've seen since like Vic? I mean, it's a rare breed for that one.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Newton was a great runner, but he was a different type of runner.
It's more of a Josh Allen type.
Right. Yeah. More of that true, almost like fullback. Yeah. And so you're right. I mean, from just a big playability, Michael Vick is that guy before him. And Bo Nix, he's a good athlete. I really don't want to take anything away from him. I would put him in there in the top 10 athletic quarterbacks in football right now. And I do love, he does a great job of protecting himself. You know, some of these guys like Lamar Jackson sometimes takes big hits because he's trying to do too much in the run game. Josh Allen, he's been banged up some as well in the past. You know, I worry about that with Jaden Daniels, some of the hits he's already taken. Like, he's having a great rookie season. I don't want to take anything away from that, but can he last an entire 17 games season after season with what he's doing? Where Bo Nix, I trust that he's going to be able to stay healthy, because he does a great job protecting himself. You know, the offensive line, if we're talking about stock up, stock down today a little bit, especially over these last two games, the offensive line has been outstanding. They gave up three pressures. Well, actually, the offensive line alone only gave up two pressures. Then one of the tight ends, I think Nate Atkins, gave up the other one. But against a Jets team like that, I know they only dropped back 25 times in that game, so there wasn't as many opportunities. But even the week before that, the Broncos offensive line. I was trying to think, there was a stat out there. If you eliminate Garrett Bowles, the offensive line, the other four players have only given up two pressures in two games. Now Garrett Bowles has given up, I think, four or five by himself, which is still actually not bad.
No, so, I mean, but average. It's not, yeah, you're not getting him killed. Also, the time to get beat matters too. Like, what is the pressure actually? Matters how quickly the guy gets home. Always in here, quick. Jasmine, what's up, guys? Good to see Jasmine. Always love seeing you on Twitter and talking with you. One of my favorite followers, no doubt. I also saw my guy Jeremy was in here. Jeremy, we were talking about you earlier, saying, I don't think I'm hating, but, you know, it's all good. Yes, he's Nick. Oh, here we go. Good evening. Telling Nick stop hating on a quarterback. I don't know. I feel like I'm even keel there, but that's okay. And getting to the even keel here, I do want to look ahead to the Raiders game, of course, here. We're starting to turn the page. That was a sloppy game. Luckily, it was a victory. If the Jets would hit that field goal, that would have been a 100% flush it down the drain. It would have felt bad because how good the defense played. But I still do want to do stock up and stock down for this. And it feels like we've had a lot of the same names, but it's just because the same guys keep stepping up and it's becoming a trend now. And you're having people across the league start to take notice of these guys. You have Dan Orlovsky tweeting about Jonathan Cooper, you know, mainstream media. You have my first stock up, Ryan Clark talking about Riley Moss, saying that if you're looking for a white cornerback, they're talking about Cooper DeJean, another Iowa guy, that you think the people who everybody thought Cooper DeJean would be, that's Riley Moss. Moss has been out there. They are targeting him like crazy just because of the aggressiveness of the coverage and not trying to get beat for that home run play. There will be more penalties to come, but he's been aggressive. He belongs. Denver has another 2.5 years of contractual control with him. As long as he can stay healthy, him and Surtain have a chance to be, and McMillan have a chance to be, honestly, one of the best cornerback groups in the league. Now, PS2 is carrying a lot of that weight when you have that guy, for sure, because he is that guy. But Moss, just stock up. The cornerback two is one of the biggest questions we had coming in this season, and he has been better beyond my wildest hopes. And it's great to have another great Iowa Hawkeye in the Broncos defense.
Yeah, it's gotta be killing some of those non-Iowa fans out there for sure. Yeah. That he's doing so good. But no, I'm with you. You know, we talked about this a little bit earlier today. Is he the biggest surprise on the team this year? And you know, we kind of went back and forth. Is it Zach Allen playing like a top five interior defensive lineman? At least in the pass rush ability. Did anybody predict that he would be that guy this year? I mean, he's been good, but not top five good.
There was an article that I wrote where NFL.com did like went through each team and like the best chance for a first time Pro Bowler. And they said Garrett Bowles for the Broncos. I'm like, I'm going to go Zach Allen or Quinn Meinerz. I think those are follow the money. Those are the guys that I think have the best chance. And right now, unless you're whoever's grading the Broncos on the PFF side of things, Allen has been spectacular. Sorry to cut you off, but he has been, you have right now. I mean, like he's good enough right now from the interior that I think you can argue that can be your Superman on the line right now. Now, is that going to sustain? It's a 4-game sample size. It's kind of small and it's harder to do from the interior than the edge just because of spacing. But like he is a unit defining player right now for that front. And you pair that with Surtain on the back. I would argue you have two building block players there. Now, I'm not ready to say that about Cooper or John Franklin Myers or any of those other guys, but Allen and Surtain, I think those are building block guys for sure.
Yeah, I think it was Mike Kliss tweeted out something about the most pressures through the first 4 games of a season since 2016 for the Broncos. Do you know who's at the top of that list? It's a very weird one. Shane Ray.
Okay.
But then it was Von Miller for 2 of the years. Bradley Chubb for one of them, and then Allen for the other one.
Yeah.
Like Allen is, I think, third on that list right now. And so you're right. He has been playing lights out. I'm a little bit worried about, you know, he played 100% of the defensive snaps in this last game. That is very much unheard of for defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't want to see them wear him out by the time they get to the end of the season because you need that guy to be prime throughout the year. Yeah.
He can be a closer.
Right. And, but you're right. And then Cooper on the other side, getting it done at the level that he's doing this year. I mean, he's playing like a top 10 to 15 edge guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's helping out in the run game, pressure on the quarterback. I think he had 7 pressures in this last game against Aaron Rodgers, who's not known for getting a ton of pressure. I mean, he's usually one of the quarterbacks that gets it out of there as quick as possible.
I will be curious to see if that trend changes going forward. I think that Rodgers did not look like normal, elusive Rodgers, and I think teams are going to blitz the absolute heck out of them going forward. He did not look like he could move. But we'll see if that's a trend. I'm with you, though.
Right. But that's sometimes what happens where other teams watch what the Broncos do and they say, hey, wow, this works. That's impressive. So, Pearl, hi to you as well here. And so the entire defense, like I said, Riley Moss, the safeties, we haven't even talked about them. They have been outstanding on the back end. I know a lot of people very nervous about losing Justin Simmons, but that looked pretty darn good to me. You got John Franklin Myers, who has been maybe one of the biggest pickups of the entire offseason for the Broncos. He's been outstanding. Cody Barton had a great game, I thought, in this last one, considering he had to kind of step into that new role with Singleton out with his injury. There's not a single guy on the defense that I can point to and go, wow, that guy sucked this week. You know, it would be hard to point to one when you can hold the Jets to 9 points, to, you know, have 5 sacks, have all that pressure, hold the run game. I mean, Breece Hall's on my fantasy team. Most of the game, he was in negative points for me.
Yeah.
Because the Broncos had done that well against him. And I think he's a top 5 running back in football. So, like I said, it just an all around the defensive side of the ball through the first 4 weeks, but especially this last week, outstanding.
Yeah. Been really impressive. Stock down, pass catchers, not named Cortland Sutton. Reynolds, good the first 2 weeks. I was always a little curious to see how that trend would continue. Fine this week. I just, you know, there's not a lot of dynamism from him, not getting hardly anything from Franklin or Mims in the pass game, and the tight end position. I mean, I don't want to be too derogatory, but you know, maybe you'd put a jersey on some traffic cones at this point for what some of them are doing out there, just getting diddly from them. Now, some of that is the other things. It's a good Jets defense out for sure, but just the pass catchers not named Sutton. Sutton showed up the last 2 weeks. I still think Reynolds is a usable piece. I'm not ready to totally give up on Mims and Franklin because they are young. You still have years of cost control left with those guys. But it has been it was poor around Bo Nix for sure. Now, Nix is going to get a lot of the blame and the focus because he's a first-round pick, right? Sean Payton's really pumped him up, continues to bat for him. But it's not an ideal situation when it comes to the guys around him in terms of the pass-catching weapons. And that was easy to see coming into the season.
Well, and it doesn't help then Tim Patrick goes and has a decent game for the Lions this week.
You had to say it. You had to say it.
I'm sorry. That was a baffling decision with so many young wide receivers on this roster. And, you know, I know Vele looked pretty good week one, honestly, compared to everybody else there at the wide receiver position. So I'm interested once he gets healthy, how they bring him back into the fold. You know, I think they've tried, at least this last week, maybe for a little bit more explosive with Franklin and Mims. But since they're not doing a whole lot, might as well put Vele in there. He's at least trustworthy to come down with the football and make a tough catch and, you know, win from the slot, all those kind of things. You're right. The Broncos probably need at least two more weapons to add to this roster with Sutton to feel good about that unit.
Yeah.
And you know, I know some people, the Davante Adams news has come out. One, I don't think the Raiders would ever trade to the Broncos. I mean, you'd have to vastly overpay if that was going to happen. I'm not a huge fan of bringing in a 31-year-old wide receiver and maybe giving up a second and more. You know, that's a lot of capital for a guy that maybe has a couple more really good years left in him. I mean, I'm torn on that because I want a receiver like him for Bo Nix. And he's one of the best route runners in football. But it's still, like I said, it's a high price to pay for a couple year rental. But we have Cody W coming in with a $2 saying, should have a double digit sack player finally. Might have a few of them.
It's possible. I mean, pressures are more indicative than sack predicted wise, but sacks are more valuable, obviously. So we'll see. Benito, Cooper, Allen, we got a chance. Got to stay healthy, though, right? So, we'll see. As a unit, they are really getting after it. Do have to get out of here another 10, 15 minutes here as baby duty calls. Stock down. I know we got to get another stock up here too. I do have a big one.
Okay. I'll go. I mean, you've taken a lot of the stock downs.
I mean, you can say some of these specifically. It's just I kind of wanted to overarch because we were, you know, I'm definitely critical of Knicks, but it's not. There's definitely reasons for struggles in the past game, and the weapons outside of Sutton are just they're not good. It's not a quality middle of the pack. It's got to be one of the bottom three pass catching groups in football.
Yeah, I guess I'll go if I'm gonna be picky here a little bit for the offense. I'll go Garrett Bowles.
Okay,
you know you're paying him big time money there at that left tackle spot. And he is, I mean, I think Wattenberg's been worse just overall because Garrett Bowles has been great in the run game. Wattenberg's kind of struggled in both the pass and the run game. But compared to what you're paying Bowles to be, he's really had his struggles through the first quarter of the season. Now, I would say this last game wasn't terrible. I think he only gave up one quarterback hit, one hurry. But it's still, there's some things that I'm watching with him where he's just not moving his feet very well. He's getting caught reaching a lot. We're kind of getting back to some of the old habits of grabbing guys, holding him, almost like riding on their back as they go around you, which is, I mean, you're keeping your quarterback from getting hit, but it's drawn quite a few penalties already this year. I was worried about the left tackle position and I didn't want to have to go over draft a guy because I'm not exactly excited about the tackles in this upcoming draft compared to, you know, I don't know where we're going to end up in the draft quite yet, but. And I didn't know if I wanted a rookie there. I'm kind of leaning towards now. I'm okay if Bowles walks and just giving McGlinchey maybe a chance to move over there and now have Pelcheski start there at the right tackle spot. Because he's looked great the last couple of weeks, or at least serviceable for what you're paying him.
More than that.
Bowles has a lot to prove to show that he deserves to be here longer than this season.
I think that with how they've pushed money around and extended guys, if they really truly valued Bowles long-term, he would already have a contract and be locked up here. So definitely on a trial right now with Sean Payton and this Broncos team. Stock up for me. You mentioned it, but I got to go stock up the, I'm going to leave an easy one for you on a stock up, but I'm going to go with the interior offensive line. Sean Payton after the game mentions that he doesn't say who gets the game balls. And then the very next press conference, like I gave Quinn Miners a game ball. So I don't know. He did not exactly what he said, but that was the kind of the gist of it. Quinn Miners, maybe his best game of the season, did really good. Luke Wattenberg's maybe best game of the season too. He doesn't just get a lot of push. He's not a very strong guy at the point of attack. I wish he had a little bit more of a butt kicker there, but the fact that he went up against Javon Kinlaw and Quinnen Williams, who just destroyed the Patriots the week before, and they felt pretty quiet in this one. Now, granted, sloppy field conditions, rain there, pretty soaked. It makes it harder with the footing and whatnot. So I don't know how replicable that'll be, but I thought that, you know, Powers, Wattenberg, and Miners opened up some very good holes for the running backs that the running backs took advantage of. The interior trio, I thought best game of the season. There's some life in that run game, running in between the guards and the tackles.
Yeah, there was one run play I watched. Somebody was breaking down, and they showed Powers and Wattenberg had done a double team, and Wattenberg was just a hair late getting to the middle linebacker. And if he had gotten there, there was a huge hole for the running back to go get maybe even a touchdown. And so he's still learning. I'm not throwing him out by any means. He's struggling a little bit this year, but he has improved as the year has gone on too. So I'm interested to see where he's at by the end of the season. Stock up for me. I mean, like I said, pretty much anybody on the defense, I could call him out and they're going to be that guy. I'll go Javonte Williams, though.
That's who I was hoping you'd go with.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I just one of his best games I've seen since his rookie year. Probably his best game. I really do think so. Just his running in this one, he was aggressive. He was just getting downhill and just trusting his offensive line to do their job and that the hole is going to be there by the time he got there. And then he's going to carry three guys with him once he gets there. You know, it just, like I said, it reminded me so much of his rookie year where he was just like, I want to go hit some people. I want to make it take three players to take me down. That's what it was, that entire second half of the game. And he single-handedly made that offense go when there was nothing going on. I mean, Pretty much. I mean, it just
that I talked about.
Okay. Sorry. But I mean, just from a weapon standpoint, you know, Sutton made a couple nice catches. Bo Nix made, I think, two really nice passes on that touchdown drive. That third and 11 pass, easily his best pass of the day, maybe even his season. And then the touchdown pass, which wasn't a great pass. He was wide open, could have made it a lot easier for Sutton, but hey, it ended up being a touchdown. But like I said, just the Jets knowing that the Broncos are going to run the football and to still be able to go and get big time positive yards. I mean, we're talking like 10 yards a carry there for about two drives straight. Mm-hmm. It was awesome to see. And I just hope he can learn from that. And the coaches can say, dude, this is what you could be every week for us. Just go run like this. And if he can do that, man, that offense could actually become something.
And I'm really happy to see Javonte Williams, you know, last year of his contract, coming off that injury, start to play like we had hoped, because man, he has been such a story coming back from that catastrophic knee injury. And while his running before this had been very poor, you can't take him off the field because Carl, he has been so good in pass protection. You go back and I don't know if anybody's going to go back, maybe it'll be, if you want to feel good about the offense, right, go back and put on the Tampa Bay game and watch the plays where Bo Nix is throwing a deep and it's coming down. Javonte Williams is a stump taking on a free rusher and not planting guys, right? But just like there's getting absolutely no penetration off him. And he had another awesome game in pass protection. So he's the only back who can fit that role right now with Estime Hurt with the size. And he struggled last season in pass protection. This year, he has been awesome there. That's, you know, that seems like a small role, but now you have a Perine out there as well. You need somebody who you can trust, especially that rookie quarterback. And you know, hopefully he continues to play this well, but his ability to pick up rushers and be a part of the protection scheme has been awesome. So a very underappreciated, undersold skill for running back. You're not getting that with McLaughlin. Weren't really getting that with Bidet as either. Javonte Williams has been awesome in the past game. He's never going to be a super dynamic, you know, Christian McCaffrey player out of the backfield as a receiver, but give me the blocker, man. He has been great there and very underappreciated.
And he's not a bad pass catcher either.
He's fine. Yeah. He's fine. Not dynamic.
It's nothing. Yeah. Like I said, it's nothing that's going to make you jump off the page and go, dude, that guy has to be on third down and run a route. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that you don't know, is he going to stay in? Is he going to go out? He could go make the play. Or, like you said, he could pick up that block for you that really sets everything up. That Josh Reynolds deep pass against Tampa Bay, highly recommend go watch what Javonte Williams did on that. They had a free rusher coming up. I think it was through the B gap. And Javonte just, like you said, just stonewalled him. And as a rookie quarterback, to have that kind of trust that your running back's going to make the right choice in that moment, that's huge. Because otherwise, you're worried, I have a free rusher coming right in my face. And like I said, with the deep passing game struggling, did you watch the Mel Kiper Jr. interview earlier today? Mm-mm. He was trying to say that the NFL should ban too high safety looks.
Oh, that was That was a week ago. Okay. Unless he said it again, but everybody's up in arms about that a week or so ago.
Okay. I just saw it today, I guess. So maybe I thought it was today. But you're right. I don't think it's the too high safety look that's the problem. I think it's more, like I said, just teams are getting after the quarterback so quickly. They don't have time to allow plays to develop. And cover two hasn't been played. I mean, the top coverages this year have been cover three and cover one by teams. So I think, like I said, I think he's way off on that. But to have that extra second, like I said, because of Javonte Williams, makes a big difference.
Yeah. I think a lot of it comes to defenses are so good at like knowing the protection rules these days that they know how to break them with different looks and guys lining up in certain areas that in pressured pass downs, they put you in numbers disadvantages where they know your rules and they're going to break them. So that's been hard. And when you have a running back who can block like Javonte, it's been a big plus. I mean, I'm crediting Bo Nix, crediting the offensive line as well, but Javonte Williams has been killing it in protection as well. So very underappreciated stock up there. I'm glad you mentioned, I did want to talk about my running back and pass protection a little bit. Cause it's you guys are in here. You're definitely above average fans, right? And just appreciating small things like that, I think is something that you guys at least hopefully will appreciate as much as I do. So Carl, before we get on out of here, your prediction for this Raiders game. I know that I picked personally the Broncos to lose the last two games. So like, should I continue that bad juju, do the reverse jinx there? Maybe do the thing like, I'm not going to trust the Broncos to beat the Raiders until they do. 8 losses in a row. Denver should win, but God, I've said that so many times over the last 4 years that I'm afraid to say it.
Yeah, I just said that to somebody earlier. I said the last 8 games, I've thought the Broncos were the more talented team. And yet the Raiders somehow come out on top. Now, part of that's, like I said, Josh Jacobs has just been a Bronco killer. For some reason, some of his best rushing games have always come against the Broncos. Same with Max Crosby. He might have like 0 sacks for like 4 or 5 games, and he gets against Broncos and has 4 in a row. I'm with you. I'm actually in our Broncos picks for the week. I'm 0-4 right now because I picked the Broncos to win the first 2 games. And I picked them to lose the last two games. And so I'm kind of going, maybe I should stick with that. That I want to stick with that. I don't know, the bad juju that turns into good juju. I don't know what you want to call it there. But I'm still going to pick the Broncos, though, because I just home game, Broncos are coming in high. I think the Raiders are in a really bad place right now, locker room-wise, talent-wise. I think they're just lacking. And so I'm going to say the Broncos get a little things going on offense. I'll go Broncos 24, Raiders 10.
So you're predicting the under then as well, because I think it's the second lowest over under in football this week at 36.5, I believe. So 10 points is good. I mean, 24 would be, especially with that kind of lead, that'd be amazing. I'll save mine for later because I got more shows to go, but appreciate everyone coming in. Always fun to hang out with you, Carl. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter at Carl Dummler MHH, at Nick Kendall MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, we're at facebook.com/MileHighHuddle and facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. As that ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. Shout out to all our star givers coming in here today. You guys are the best. We got David Meckelrath, of course, Papa Bear, with always the positive vibes. Elias coming in here. Thank you so much, Elias. I didn't see another comment in here from you. So if you do have something, make sure you hit us up on Twitter or something. That way we can chat, because $19.99, that's super supportive. And we really appreciate that. Cody coming in 3 times. Thank you so much, Cody W. W for winning. Hopefully we can get 3 W's in a row like Cody's 3 super chats there. And of course, our guy, Sunrise Sunset, any time of day. Michael Ronquillo coming in with the support as always. I like this too. 3-2 Broncos win as well. And we got a final one here coming in from Michael saying, great show tonight, Nick and Carl, and building the Broncos. Go Bo Broncos. Fantastic. We appreciate you, Michael. We appreciate everyone coming in. Any final thoughts, Carl?
No, I just, like I said, got a little bit of an identity going. I love that the Broncos are winning in the trenches on both sides of the ball. When's the last time we could say that? That they were dominant on both sides.
God, man, it has been a while. I don't think they have like a matchup proof defensive and offensive line, kind of like the Lions do, but like they're above average in both areas for sure, which is, that's great. That feels good. It feels very good.
And it's nice. It seems like across the board, you know, it's not like just a couple players dominating. It really seems like almost every player on both the offensive and defensive line playing at a pretty high level.
The defensive line right now is kind of reminding me, and it can be very fickle year to year. So hopefully Denver can cash in this season. But like, 2 years ago where the Eagles didn't have like a single true superstar, but they had like 60 sacks or something, like pulling all the right dials and stuff. And they didn't have, you know, Von Miller or Aaron Donald, but they were just too deep and very talented. Kind of where Denver's trending right now. Not as deep, too deep, but a lot of good, useful pieces. So it's great. George Fox says, coming out of the super chat as well, saying, we need to beat the Raiders, and they don't have Jacobs as their Broncos killer. Denver Broncos for life, 24-18. Love it, George. Thank you so much for the support. They need to beat the Raiders. I know it's not a must-win game, but like for my own sanity, it's a must-win. I got Raiders friends, too, who are just, they're good people, but like enough's enough. 8 in a row? Absolutely not. Hopefully the Broncos take it personally as well. They seemed to maybe take that Jets loss last year personally. Let's do the Raiders as well. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate everyone. Have a great rest of your night. Yeah, Mo stock up. Vance Joseph. Maybe have to have a conversation. Only 4 games, guys. I hate to be that. If I'm going to be that for Bo Nix and negatives, only 4 games will get better, I'm sure. Let's keep repeating it. But definitely, no doubt, especially where he was a year ago. Vance Joseph, massive stock up. Appreciate it. Appreciate everyone. Have a great rest of your Tuesday night. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. Go Broncos.
You've been listening to Building the Broncos. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.